You're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio. I'm your host, Chris Walker, and this is our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road in Onirawa. Thanks very much to them. As I explained earlier in the show, at the time of the last local board election, or just immediately following that, there was an agreement made that the chair role would be split, and the first half of the term, Paul Warden would be the chair, and in the second half of the term, Kath Handley would step into the role. And Kath is in the studio with us this morning. I'll just get you to straighten that up a bit, Kath, so it's right in front of you. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
So, when do you officially start in the chair role?
On the 23rd of April.
Right.
So a couple of weeks to go.
So what's going to change?
The responsibilities I have will change, and I'll explain that in a sec, and certainly the hours of work. So at the moment, local board members, including me as deputy chair, are expected by Auckland Council to put in about 20 to 25 hours a week, whereas the chair role is expected to be about 40 hours a week. So that's not Monday to Friday, because obviously we do things in the weekends and in the evenings, but it does step up the commitment, the personal commitment in terms of your hours, and you take, in terms of responsibilities changing, you take responsibility for effective getting the best out of the board, essentially, working with board members, pulling people together, chairing meetings. But the purpose of that is not just to have a chair, but is to take responsibility for the board and the way that it is performing. Now, of course, it's down to individuals how they perform, but it's the chair's role to try and get the best, out of that collective.
Yeah, so I suppose in some ways that's the change for you. The change that we're all wondering about is what's going to change for the operation of the board, the direction of the board, the impact of the board in our community.
Hopefully you won't see too much change, and that we're working fairly strongly, I think, as a group, as a group with very different views on things, but we do work collaboratively, and I think we work pretty cohesively on most things, and we're respectful of one another. So that, in a way, on the outside, what is a relative, in relative terms, and I compare that to previous boards, working pretty well together despite differences, that might not change one's perception of the board externally. But very different. I have a very different style to Paul Warden, the current chair's. I respect his style, but I have a very different one. So I think that would show in the level of communication maybe that's established with the public on Waiheke, the residents and ratepayers. In terms of, I think there's a lot of stuff happens behind the scenes. So for the people of Waiheke, nothing much, they don't see stuff we're doing now. Most of the stuff we do is not visible. It'll be my job as chair to make as much transparent and as visible as possible. So that would be the hallmark, I guess, of the work that I've done up to this point externally, so up prior to being elected to the board. So, I have a communicative style and I put a lot of value on that. So that might change, well, that might, in terms of people's what they see and perceive, that might be a change.
So just going back to what you were saying about, that there may not be much of a sense of a change of direction in the board. I mean, I suppose when you were standing, certainly you were stating very strongly that when you were looking at the board, there pretty much wasn't anything you liked in what you saw. And at the time you put up your hand for the chair role,
yep,
immediately after the election, I presume that was still the position you held. So how have your views changed over what's needed in a local board and in a chair, in the chair of a local board, over the 18 months since the election?
I would say that it's not so much a change in my views. I think there is a change. I did stand for change, and I still do. But there has been a change within the board. So I think prior, the board didn't have five fully participating members. That was obvious. I think all five members are putting in, plenty of hours and plenty of work. So it is more a shared responsibility. I actually feel that in the last term, I feel for Paul Walden. I think he was, doing an awful lot with it and didn't have as much support from board members as he probably has been experiencing in the last 18 months. So there is that. In terms of anything that I said, I'd stand entirely by the things I said at the time, and I still do, and have been working on the projects that I outlined. But you got to say that I'm a single independent board member among five, but the board's been, I think, pretty good at embracing the issues that I brought to the board and raised as, during the election campaign. So I don't think it's a case of me changing my view. I have, because ultimately you get into an environment and you must embrace it. So you must find out how to make it work for you. You've got to find out how it works best for the board. And all of that can't be known to me in advance. So
one of the things that you talked about in your election was Matiatia. Mm. And, you said, I'm the person who's got the ability to sort that out. Mm. So what is it, April 24th, it's all sorted?
Sorted. It's a very good question because it's the burning question, and it is the one that is sent front and centre for the board, and we've made it our single priority for this long-term plan, which is we're going in. I don't think I said I was going to sort it single-handedly, Chris. And I've used that. I've used what I can to bring change forward for Matiatia. And the ways that that has been effective is ensuring that the public survey that went out actually was less coloured politically and more, and got a really comprehensive response from the people of Waiheke, but driving really hard to depoliticise the approach that was being taken to change at Matiatia.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the direction Matiatia has the responsibility to lead the community response, if you like, to redevelopment of Matiatia. But it had a perceptual issue in the community. So by that I mean it was seen as a single issue group, and it became then a group that was representative and needed to communicate with the whole of Waiheke. So, and it has done that now, but I think it required some changes in approach to get there, to become a group that anybody, whether they supported Matiatia and a marina Matiatia or not, would feel comfortable participating in a survey. So I think they did extraordinarily well, and the consequence of that is there was a really comprehensive response, over 800 people, which was brilliant. There is that. And then the other things is I drove last year AT to consult with the public about some proposed changes to the parking that would have freed up more parking for one-day parking instead of seven-day parking. What happened is that AT did the survey, and they've never gone back publicly to say what their response was to that survey. But because it was multi-pronged and they got a big kickback from commuters, they didn't advance any single issue out of their survey. So they might have done that and we would have more parking right now. I think the upshot is that finally, but we're still kind of, AT is still working through the process of getting 35 extra parks outside the rental car business. So, it's 18 months, but we're finally there and actually achieving something. But it is difficult, and I concede absolutely that we're waiting on iwi to draw a boundary over sacred land on the foreshore, and without a boundary, the redevelopment can't be planned. But at the same time, we've worked really hard with Auckland Council to build Matiatia funding into their long-term plan, and with Auckland Transport to build real funding into their long-term plan. So those two things would appear to have been achieved like this. It hasn't been signed off yet, so we can't go there. But there's been an awful lot of work to actually get a redevelopment at Maitiatia moving ahead.
And so you believe you can get that through in the next 18 months?
Yeah. You mean the whole of the redevelopment?
At least the funding, the sign off on what will happen.
The funding has to be approved within the long-term plan, and that's currently under consultation. And similarly with Auckland Transport, but they at least have put some money aside. So all going well, Ngāti Pāua coming to the table with the boundary, and they've been short-staffed because they've been busy doing treaty negotiations, and there's only five of them. So, you know, it's been really difficult to get the traction.
So I also wanted to ask you about the skate park, but before we do, just because you brought up the thing around perception of direction Maitiatia, and again, one of the positions in the election that you raised is, and you know, going back in time to these things because you know now you're chairing the board, and you know, so you were very critical of the model that saw local board and council funding going to community groups, some particular community groups, to carry out work, and you know, you raised a number of concerns around that. So you've seen that in action now, that model, which is something which is happening right across Auckland, not just on Waiheke. And I mean, what's your viewpoint on the operation of that model now of funding to community and volunteer groups around these kind of projects?
Yeah, I wasn't critical of funding going to community and volunteer groups. I was critical of the way that money was being allocated without enough accountability for outcomes. So that was my biggest beef, say, about Little Onuroa Stream. And as officers and my fellow board members would vouch, that is still what I'm saying. And I've pushed just this week very, very hard to get those outcomes further defined. So it's not the groups that do the work, it is council's expectations and how they're monitored. So this is not a crack at community at all, because I actually fully embrace the notion of community being responsible. But anyone who has the job of delivering on ratepayer funds has to be accountable for outcomes. And I think a really good result of that, like a demonstration of that, is I along with the rest of the board, have fully supported the finalisation or the finishing with additional funding of the hard stand for the boats down at the causeway. And that's now completed. And, you know, fortunately for them, there's literally, it's got concrete results. You can see the results of that. But I think there are real difficulties I actually support the work that Waiheke Resources Trust is doing with respect to work to reduce human contamination of our waterways. And I'm behind the scenes at the moment with the rest of the board looking to see if we can't extend that. But it's got to be extended with outcomes, you know, absolute outcomes. So I was never against funding the groups. I am perpetually saying that all of these things must be measurable.
So let's go onto the skate park, because that was another issue that you raised as, you know, a core concern.
Yep.
So what do you, you know, what have you been able to do so far, and what do you hope to see through in the chair role in regard to the skate park?
So the skate park is now on the books for a full redevelopment, fully funded redevelopment. And this, it's in two component parts, because in the meantime, the really poor state of the half pipe, well, it came to our attention. In fact, I was told it was mended, which it wasn't, by council, and made quite an effort to ensure that we opened it up, had a look and found out what the problem was. Now, the problem's really extensive, so that we have committed to for this coming year as a capital redevelopment is to get the half pipe done. The skate park itself redevelopment is dependent on something that could never have been known at the time of the election, and that is the flooding at Tai Waiparira Stream, which is Tahi Road business area, and some residential areas were extensively flooded. That has been a priority for me, and it's a priority for the board to make sure that that flooding doesn't recur. So we put a lot of effort, not me in particular, into leading a group with council to get huge amount of money invested to clean to clear future flooding so it doesn't recur. But behind that is the old council dump, and on that is part is the skate park. So we now have to work through one project to get the other two other projects completed, one of those being a recapping of the old dump and dealing with the toxicity that that leaches from that and potentially will always leach from that, and getting the skate park redeveloped. So they're all connected and they're all happening.
So, well, I suppose connected to that in some way is that whole question of waste management, and that's all up in the air at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's the, you know, what's your position around what kind of waste management strategy we should be putting in place for Waiheke?
Well, first of all, to deal with on island, the island looking after its own waste, maximising that as much as possible. Secondly, there is a great deal of work that we're doing with council between now and next year to develop with Waiheke a strategy that is collaborative and that sees Waiheke actually take over those responsibilities in a way that is not forced upon the community too fast for change. So we need to get it right. So we are working with Auckland Council senior people on a regular basis, and I am going to be meeting with them once a month, and they will meet with the board every second month to develop that strategy in time to release a tender to the community for the components, which will happen later this year. So we're looking for, it's for the year after next. So it was going to be for next year, but that's actually too fast to make such big changes. So we're looking to ensure that it gets finalised next year, the strategy, and tendered so that people are up and running for the middle of the following year.
Okay. So have you had any advice from Paul Warden on the chair role?
Well, we just to be clear, we run pretty much, we align pretty well on a lot of stuff. So Paul is there, and he will be there when I take up the chair role to support that role, and he is supportive of it. So I haven't had advice as such. He hasn't taken me to one side and given me the do and do nots. But
I asked him if he had any advice for you, but he didn't proffer anything.
No, well, he hasn't given me any either, but he is there as a sounding board for me going forward, and I think that's really important. And I've fully supported him in his role. I mean, that's really what it's about. You can't go in there just because you want change. You've still got to do it. You've got to do it in a responsible way which actually embraces the people who are there, so that the board's cohesive and does some decent work, instead of being forever marginalised over issues, which is ridiculous, especially when there's only five of you and it's a small community, and where we are aligned, all five of us, way more than we are separate on issues. So, yeah, I think at the moment I would hope that the view would be that we are actually operating as a cohesive unit out there, rather than being seen to be forever splintering over stuff and not achieving, getting traction on some really big issues.
Coming in, and it's easy to look from outside, and as you said, there's a lot of information you don't see, and a lot of things that can be perceived as inaction, which might be beyond the power of the board to address. What have been the key things that you have learnt through being on the board that you weren't aware of when you were outside of it?
Okay, I've said, and wherever I have the opportunity or I'm asked, but also within the board, that I understand why people have pushed for an independence, because I've seen for myself the real difficulty at dealing with this kind of multi-headed monster, namely council, and the CCOs, and in particular, that's the council-controlled organisations, in particular Auckland Transport. So those frustrations have been very real for me, as they are for the people of Waiheke and for other board members. So there is a sort of, you have to develop some long tolerances, and I suppose that's what I've learned, that my tolerances, you have to go, you have to work the system, you can't beat the system. It's not going to work like that. So I guess that's where I would say I play to my strengths, and that I'm a relationship builder.
So given that there's been a change of government, do you think that we should be pushing for a review of the structure of Auckland Council, and particularly those CCOs, which seem to be where the major problems lie?
And certainly that would be where I would start, would be that whole CCO structure and the accountability of the CCOs. I have been told that Council is going to strengthen in this long-term plan its expectations of the CCOs. My own scepticism would say that probably won't go nearly far enough, in my view, for our needs. So do we need, therefore, to get central government behind us? I think it will come on a laundry list that the new government has. So I wouldn't hold out too much expectation that they will go beyond the local government commission's report, which has just come back to us, so with some expectations of some change, but it's really quite tweaking the model rather than looking for any wholesale change. I would certainly support and do, because I'm open about this, within council, when I had the opportunity to represent the local board in the at the Finance and Performance Committee deliberations on the long-term plan, and I have voiced those concerns in that environment. I will continue to voice them, because I do understand that you get change when you demand change at a sort of owner's level. The owner is council. Auckland Transport is 100% owned by council. So I have a very clear view that council could push itself for much more change structural. Yeah, with the care, and it happens. It's about how you set those CCOs up with what accountabilities, and how they, you know, what they are accountable to council for. Mm. Yeah, so it needs to be more prescriptive, I think.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much. We've been talking to Kath Hanley, incoming chair of the Waiheke Local Board, and 23rd. Do you have to go through some kind of swearing in?
No,
process?
I've been sworn in. So right. When Paul was sworn in as the chair, he was sworn in, I think, up to the 21st of April, and I'd take over on the 23rd or the 20th of April. We've got a weekend when we don't have a chair.
Right,
apparently.
So it would be a rudderless boat for a weekend.
Yeah. For a weekend.
Yeah, okay. That's the time. If you want to build a deck, go for it. Get in there, chop those trees down. Nothing, no law. Thanks very much, Kath.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking to Kath Hanley, as I said, incoming chair of the local board. You're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio.